Hi, this is Paul Puckett. Thank you for joining me here on the conversation, Getting There. As we've been reminding each other in our conversation here, getting there is a reflection of the fact that we're on a journey. We're never truly in the final destination until, of course, we reach that final destination. And my goal is to help you enjoy the ride until we get there. So we're never really there. We're getting there. You know, it's interesting. The CPA that I'm having on the show today, Jerry Catalano, Jerry has been practicing accounting for, well, more years than he probably want me to tell you, but it's public information on his website. He's also a singer and a guitarist, and we're going to play some of his music today. I'm looking forward to having him on the show. Some friends of mine were thinking, Paul, nobody wants to remember that tax season just finished. Are you sure you want to talk to an accountant? But Jerry has a unique firm, themusiccpa.com. I'll be telling you about him a little more about him later. And I think we'll have a little fun, even though taxes may come up. But what better time to plan for 2016's taxes filing than a year in advance? Why not? I saw an article today that I wanted to share because, you know, as you can tell from the cover picture for the show Getting There at bbsradio.com's homepage for me, nature to me is very important. It's the place where we reconnect with ourselves more than actually with nature itself. And so it's always been important to me to get out, take a hike, not because people said, hey, Paul, take a hike, but because I said, hey, it's time for me to take a hike. I need to go out and get some perspective. And in yesterday's Washington Post, there's an article by Chelsea Harvey, Why Living Around Nature Could Make You Live Longer. And I just want to take a couple of spots from that article. New research from the Environmental Health Perspectives Institute found that when you live in a green area with more vegetation around, you've got a lower risk of mortality. They believe it also improves mental health, social engagement, and makes you healthier because when you're around a green area, for instance, New York is a city and you do a lot of walking, but isn't it fun to go out in Central Park on a nice day? And hopefully that nice day is arriving as winter may finally release its grip on the Northeast. That's off and on grip, I should say. The study says it's just important. It's not so much you have to do like me and run out to a state park or get on a bicycle and go somewhere. It's important to have it in your home, plants, and outside of your home. We're lucky. There's professional landscaping in the complex. So as much as I enjoy gardening, I don't actually have to anymore. But it actually lowers mortality. That's that destination we don't like to talk about, by 12% than people that don't live in a green place, particularly those that are affected by respiratory diseases, cancer, and kidney disease. So I just wanted to share on the opening of the show today that, you know, maybe you should take a hike. No, maybe you should get out and enjoy nature at some point today, tomorrow, whenever you get a chance, or this weekend. Another news item. This one I'm going to spend a little bit more time on. There's a fellow who's been in the financial services industry for quite some time. He actually teaches at, I believe, Texas Tech. His firm, Avinsky & Katz, is in Coral Gables, Florida. His name is Harold Avinsky, and he's been practicing financial planning for over 3 decades. He likes to say that financial planning is not just his vocation, it's his avocation, it's his mission. He's been chairman of the Certified Financial Planning Board. He's been an advisor for Charles Schwab and TIAA CREF on their advisory board, I should say. He helped put together the International Certified Financial Planning Board of Standards. Now, Harold's not a guest today, but it's important that I share this with you today because you've only got about 24 hours left. Harold has released a new book. It's not his first. This one's specifically primarily for individual investors. I think professionals would benefit from this book as well. The title is aptly named Hello, Harold. And his purpose in this book is to share what he's seen sort of like I do, with stories of clients I've worked with that I hope help you to understand how to avoid or find what, either avoid something you don't want or find what you do, so that you can be happy and peaceful and have balance, even though you either are trying to find enough money or you have so much that it becomes your focus. That second one, a lot of people don't realize, can be very bad. But there was a sentence in the introduction to Hello Harold that caught my eye. Financial planning is a powerful tool that can help you develop and maintain the quality of life you want. This is the sentence. Unfortunately, there's a ton of noise and nonsense foisted on investors that can undermine their financial success. One of the things I'll expand on in a future show more than today is the importance of recognizing the different ways you receive financial information. Now, some of it is just flat what I call news. You know, I can look at, for instance, Bloomberg right now and say the Dow Jones Industrial is at 18,139.45, up 0.48%, up 85.85 points. Now, that's just a simple fact, which to me is a useless fact unless in the next couple minutes you were thinking of selling or something. It's, you know, we don't really need to pay much attention to that, but it can come in handy when you're looking periodically, meaning quarterly or annually, at, well, what's my portfolio worth today? Investing is long-term, and we can look at it too often. Sometimes speaking of nature, I explain the volatility of the stock market, which can bother investors and professionals for that matter, depending on what they're doing, with a day at the beach, because a day at the beach is much more fun. And it's beautiful today in Southwest Florida. I wish I had time to go to the beach today. But if you were sitting on the beach, particularly if we were on the east coast of Florida or farther up the U.S. with the Atlantic sitting right on the beach instead of the Gulf of Mexico, there's this thing that hits the beach, has a very peaceful, soothing sound. It's called waves. And when you see those waves, they don't disturb you at all. Matter of fact, when there are no waves, it's sort of weird. It gets a little too quiet at the beach. So if you think of the way those waves come in, let's say you got 3-foot waves, Daytona, for instance, and those 3-foot waves are coming in, and in between each wave, of course, there's a trough. And so the wave slaps the beach when the high part hits, and then as it recedes, the next wave comes in, and you get that nice rhythmic sound. And it's not, you know, perfect like a musical piece. The rhythm can be irregular, and you have the wind noise and all that. Well, that's stock market volatility. Sometimes we're at the top of the wave, sometimes we're at the bottom. It you know, would be fun just to surf at the top of the wave with our investment portfolio, but that's probably an unrealistic goal. So I wanted to take the opportunity to say, when you look at the news you get from the markets, first of all, don't let volatility bother you. Second of all, look to see who's giving it. Okay, I'm recommending Hello Harold by Harold Ivinsky, available on Amazon Kindle through tomorrow, April 21st, for free. That's right, for free. How many things in life are free? Now, the Kindle's not free, but you can at least get the book for free. In it are all these stories of what he's seen over the course of his career, either from what professionals do or what individual investors do. And let me just give you a couple of stories, titles from the book. You know, this sounds a bit pessimistic. The Titanic, The Future Ain't What It Used to Be. The Trouble with Sandboxes, How to Tell if a Fund is Right for You. My favorite story I've read so far is the first story in part two, Advisors. Who is who anyway? Who's who? There's a lot of things happening today in the regulatory environment of the investment world. And defining who is who has never been as easy as people think. I don't think Mr. Ivinsky would mind if I share just one part of the beginning of that story. It begins with a reporter saying, I need two sentences about who provides financial services in the U.S., something along those lines. Well, of course, you can't do it in two sentences. It doesn't even come close. And, you know, as that story develops, you can tell the reporter is a little dumbfounded by how much he does not know. And my guess is it's a business reporter. It gave the publication that he was writing for, but I don't recall if he was a business reporter or not. But there are so many, but beyond financial advisors, investment advisors, money managers, Harold Ovinsky is a wealth manager. That's a financial planning firm that focuses on the needs of the wealthy, estate planning, retirement planning, philanthropic planning, all those things that higher net worth people would need. And then you have commodities brokers, futures traders, and that's just providers. That's just providers. But that's probably, for most people, not where they get the majority of their information, is it? Where we get it is Bloomberg, CNBC, CNN Money, the newspaper, periodicals, magazines, Bottom Line, Kiplinger's Money. Now, this is not in any way, shape, or form saying there's nothing worth reading in those. There's plenty worth reading in those. But there's something important that you should do before you act on the advice you see in those. Here's what it is. I'm talking to you now. It's been a while since I did the disclosure. You need to know who you're listening to. You need to know who you're reading. You need to know who you're watching. So in my case, for instance, the full disclosure is I'm Paul Puckett. I'm an investment advisor representative of Q1 Advisors located in Virginia Beach, serving clients in Virginia Beach, North Carolina, and Florida. I'm also an independent life insurance agent in Florida and Virginia. And you should know that because I'm still in the profession. This is what I do. The show has a different purpose in that we're getting there. We should recognize that. My clients that fully understand that, all of them do, handle market downturns better. They handle markets going up. They're not looking for what should I do today. They're not even thinking about what they should do today from a money standpoint. But that's who I am. Okay, that doesn't make me more knowledgeable or better, but it lets you know for 27, 28 years, I've been in this profession working in the industry, from everything from bank loan officer to registered rep, that's also known as a financial advisor, investment advisor, insurance agent, private client advisor, trust officer. It's been an interesting career. Well, when you look at, for instance, an article and it says by Jane Bryant Quinn, it says by, pick a name, I picked her because she's the largest, most prolific writer, and she writes for AARP magazine. Dig deeper once you've read that article that either says you should not do something or you should, to see, well, what's the bio of this article? Who wrote this? Who are they? Who wrote the book I'm reading about investing? You know, if you go to the doctor will often get a universal look. It doesn't matter whether it's a 28-year-old doctor or a 70-year-old doctor, male, female, it's the same look. It's the look they get when you say, they ask you your symptoms, you give them the symptoms, they ask the questions, and then right when they're inhaling to do the diagnosis, you say, I was on Google, and I was, what? And they look at you like, oh, Dr. Google, come on, you're here with the professional. Don't go to Dr. Google. Well, in my profession, it's similar. I hear an article quoted, and it's by someone who has never, ever, ever been a broker, been an advisor, been an insurance agent. That doesn't mean that their story isn't accurate. But what it does mean is you need to know who their sources were, or trust that their sources were great sources. So highly recommend Harold Ovinsky's Hello Harold, whether you have to pay for it or not. It is available through April 21st for a free download from Amazon.com. So you just go to Amazon.com, type in Hello Harold, click Kindle edition, and download it for free. Time's ticking. You have 34 hours. 33 hours and 45 minutes. Okay. Now, I'm going to read something to you, and then we're going to play a little song. But our guest today, Jerry Catalano, is a certified public accountant with Catalano and Cabor in Lombard, Illinois. His main website is www.themusiccpa.com. His firm's website is www.catbor.com. We're going to play a song that Jerry is the singer and guitarist on from a band called The Force. But I wanted you to hear the message of this song. It really caught me. Listen to the rhythm. There's something in the air. Is it something that I saw or something that was there? It's calling me to try to be different. Or does it want me to be indifferent? I hear the words calling. Was it something I said? I seem to have a vision. Get it out of my head. There's other verses you'll be hearing in a second, but let's take a listen to that song, and then we'll be bringing on Jerry Catalano from Lombard, Illinois. And that was Calling from The Force Jim Catalano is a certified public accountant who's been in the profession for a few years, for quite some time, and also a singer and a guitar player who works with numerous artists, filmmakers, authors. As a CPA, he understands the concepts that they deal with that's different than the rest of us, royalties and things of that nature. And I was really captured by the message of that song. We're going to be playing another song by The Force in a few minutes. But, you know, the listen to the rhythm, there's something in the air, there's something I saw, something that was there. The message of this show is the importance of your life and how you spend your life and your time more than just the money, which should not be your life. I understand Jim has joined us. Mr. Catalano, welcome to the show.
Let me clarify one thing. I'm Jerry Catalano. Jim is my son who does our marketing and runs all our social media.
I was wondering if he was your son or not, and I made the mistake as I did that introduction of looking at the email Jim sent me.
Right.
So Jerry Catalano, who obviously has been in business a lot longer than Jim.
That's right.
Now, on the BBS Radio website for getting there, Jerry, you'll be happy to know that it has your name and picture as Jerry Catalano. So welcome. Now that we've established your first name.
Thank you.
It's a very difficult concept. How did you end up going from, you know, you started out, I think, as a CPA, and at some point you started singing with a band and specializing. You help all sorts of different businesses, but specializing with artists.
Right. Well, let's go back. Actually, I was in a rock band in the 60s. I actually was in. I actually went into music first, and actually even in high school was in chorus and made all city chorus in the city of Chicago. I went to Lane Tech in Chicago. And actually, my uncle had a recording studio back in the 50s, and when I was 5 years old, I recorded a record called The Train Runs Through the Middle of the House with him. So I've been singing for a long time. And actually, the band I was in the 60s was broke up by the Vietnam War because my bandmates got drafted, and I was in college at the time, so... the band broke up. And in 1970, I was 21 and did A&R work, where I was signing local acts in Chicago through an organization called Zark Attractions. And I learned about the back end of the business at that point. That's kind of what sparked me to use my CPA skills to help artists in the industry because of the people I met in the background of the industry, the agents, the managers, the club owners, the record label people. I ran into all of those when I was doing A&R work, and quite honestly, they weren't nice people. And I call the industry wannabes, whores, and thieves.
I sometimes refer to people on the financial services side as Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe.
Right.
And, you know, as I think, and you're obviously on the financial services side too as an accountant. So you started out as the musician. The band broke up due to Vietnam, and you sort of had an interesting journey where I would think the music CPA is such a great name, but your experience as a musician, I would think, would make a musician more comfortable sitting down and hearing what they've got to do from a tax standpoint.
It absolutely does. I get a lot. I speak their language. Let's put it that way. I mean, it's a right brain, left brain thing, and I understand them and their frustrations and their, you know, and their ambitions and what they're trying to accomplish and why the frustrations of the industry. I get it. And that helps me explain to them, one, what they can do from a tax standpoint, what they can. I often review their contracts for royalty arrangements. I've done litigation support as well. Back in the 90s, there was an act named Maximilian who had a big hit on B96, and actually it was a worldwide hit called Fat Boy. And he came to see me one night and said, you know, I'm number one on the radio, and the record label says I owe them $250,000. I proceeded to build a case in which we sued the record label. After testifying on the stand for 5 hours, they gave him a check for $600,000. So,
and that had to be rewarding for you as a musician.
It was fantastic. And not only that, but we got his masters back. And he had signed, which a lot of musicians don't understand, and that's the wannabe part. He had signed a 360-degree contract, you know, a 360 contract.
And I'm sure my listeners don't know what it is. Go ahead.
Okay. So what a 360 contract is when you sign up with a record label, they own everything you do. So that means they own your performance work, they own your writing, your publishing, and your recordings. So you own everything. They're in control of everything you do in the industry. You have no freedom. And so in his case, in the particular case of the Maximilian situation, in the 2 years it took us to fight that case, at the end of the case, even though he won, his career was over. He didn't do anything in those 2 years because anything he would have done would have belonged to them by contract.
Wow.
And that was, so his career was done because he was in the genre of music was dance, really. And if you don't continuously come up with hit after hit, like Pitbull does, you're done. So he was done. We won the case and he lost the war, you know? We won the battle and he lost the war, so.
Well, I guess half good is better than all bad.
He got his money and he got his masters back, which is a miracle, and he got freed from basically an indentured servitude contract.
Changing the subject slightly, but still in the same line. Obviously, Monday was tax day.
Right.
As an accountant, and this would apply not just to musicians and writers and filmmakers, where it may be even more important because they can control to a certain degree what they're doing and when. How much as an accountant, when you're talking to the general public or talking specifically to prospective clients or clients, how much emphasis should be on planning in advance as opposed to here's what's happened and how we're going to handle it?
Oh, 100%. The one thing that I tell all my client prospects is you can either make me a historian or a futurist. If you want to make me an historian, means you're just bringing me your stuff, I'm reporting history, I'm preparing your tax return based on what happened. To make me a futurist, perhaps we can change what happened. Perhaps we can plan what's going to happen and do a better job of it. I always encourage any prospective clients of mine to utilize that service of planning and plotting the future as opposed to just making me an historian. Anybody that can do compliance work, okay, it takes a little more foresight to do futurist work. And that's the kind of work that I like to do. And that's where I feel that the client gets more bang for his buck if he's using a CPA service for future work as opposed to, you know, just historical work.
Well, I know from the industry I'm in and from sort of interrelating with attorneys and accountants on a given client that it is rare that they automatically say, Paul, you know, that's a good idea. I'll go meet with my attorney. Usually they'll say, but I have to pay them. And
right.
If it's filing taxes, you know, okay, I got to do it. I'm going to do it. I don't like
right.
it, but thank God they're there because otherwise I'd have to figure out what Form 8965 is.
Right.
You know, with what I've seen happen, and I think you just said this, I'm quoting you, they get more bang for their buck when they say, how should I do this?
Right.
Then here's what I just did.
Yeah.
Now, you have, because of and I know you focus on more than just music, but you have, I think, a starter package that
yes.
prospective clients can get. Do you serve just Illinois or nationally, or how do you
national,
work?
Actually national, and we actually have been, thanks to the Music CPA website, we've been contacted by prospective clients all over the world. There was 1 week we got a call from a music producer in Sweden who was making his money producing music in Japan and a band in England that was about to tour the country and needed somebody to do their tour accounting while they were here. So
do you have to know the tax laws of all those countries to work with a client like that?
Absolutely not. We're not doing they're calling us For example, in the music producer's case, he was a U.S. citizen who had been living in Sweden, married a Swedish woman, wanted to come back to the U.S., and what we had to do for him was catch him up on his U.S. filings, because as a U.S. citizen, no matter where you live, you're required to file in the United States as long as you're a U.S. citizen. You may not have to pay tax here because there's restrictions on how much, you know, you can, you don't pay double tax. If you're paying in that country, you're getting a credit here, basically.
Right.
So we don't have to know the foreign tax. We're not doing the foreign tax. We're dealing with, you know, whatever credits come from there. So we've often worked with other international accountants. If we do need the foreign tax, we have some connections in England and some accountants in Ireland that we've worked with. So.
You know, on the because there are some bands, one of the things I do on the show that's a bit unusual, for I call it the money show that focuses about life. And to me, life and music are pretty closely intertwined. Life is more enjoyable when you have music, and so there are people in the industry that in the music industry that might very well be listening. If they're hearing what you're saying. And I guess what they would start with is getting a starter package. Now, here's what I wanted to ask you to clarify. I think of a CPA starter package as a sheet that says, here's what we do, where we're located, and how we schedule appointments, and here is a fact finder for you to give me all the information I need to prepare your tax return. That is not what the starter package is.
No, it is not. And I mean, we have a bibliography of books that we recommend. We have tax forms that you'll need to understand. It's certainly a lot more than, it's not just a pitch for our firm. It truly is a starter package. And, you know, oftentimes a lot of the starter packages we send out, the clients end up using them for whatever purpose. And, you know, we don't even necessarily get the client in all cases. That's not what the starter package is about. It's about.
But it's go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ask your question.
No, I was going to say, so it's more than a starter package for dealing with accounting and taxes. It's
right.
More a starter package that ideally, you know, somebody decides to form a band, they begin to have some success, and this gives them the tools not only from a forms they should be using, you know, entertainment attorneys they may contact, but I'm assuming this bibliography is not tax books. It's books on how to manage a band, how to organize
business,
a band.
Right. The business of music, all the, you know, all the industry books that we recommend that everybody either use as a, I mean, some of the books are just for reference purposes. I mean, The Business of Music, which is really one of the Bibles of the industry, is not a book you necessarily read. It's a book you have for reference.
Right,
because it'll always deal with various areas of royalties and how they work, and you know what's the difference between a mechanical royalty and a performance royalty, you know, those kind of issues. That, I mean, I used to teach a class for music industry workshops on the business of music, and that was my, you know, my primary thing is, look, you're going into a business that has a lot of glamour and glory attached to it. But the bottom line is, it's a business, and treat it as one. You know, keep track of your records. Make sure you know that that you have deductible expenses. Open a checkbook. All those kinds of things that you would do to start any business, if you were selling widgets or songs on the radio. You know, it's still a business, and that's kind of the message of, you know, some of the books that we have that we recommend, and we want anybody that's considering going into this business to understand, and the books will also tell you that how, you know, that this isn't an easy business to make any money in either, unfortunately.
So. Well, that's I hear that often. I mean, what a band gets paid for 3 hours, you know, if they're five members of the band, it ends up getting really thin, particularly when you consider the cost of the equipment. Not just their time and talent, but the cost of all the equipment. You said in there that, and this applies to all businesses, the importance of keeping track and planning. Do you find that's true also on retired clients you may handle, or individuals as opposed to businesses? Is that a challenge for people?
Oh, absolutely. I have a guy coming in this afternoon and just wants to decide on whether or not he should pull his 401k to buy a house. You know, that's a good example. So yeah, planning. We start what we call planning season in October of every year, because you know, and this is for all businesses, all clients, and we want them all to participate. But of course, you know, some people just don't want to take the time, don't want to spend the money, so they don't do it. But those that do it, once they do it once, are here every year in October, November, December, doing their planning before the year closes, because there's always something that can be done. I mean, if you're an investor, for example, we also work as a team with your whatever advisors you have. So if you're an investor, for example, we want to know from your advisor what your capital gains are at the end. So is there an opportunity to perhaps sell off some, harvest some losses to net those capital gains off? Those are the kind of things, and then run a tax projection so that the client does not have a surprise, which we, you know, we often have where they don't do planning. You know, a guy who files tax returns, I didn't know I had 50,000 capital gains last year and faces a huge tax bill. So that's the kind of thing. It's not just, not just music. All of our clients, every walk of life. I mean, you know, some people, you know, if you're just a W-2 and own a house, maybe you don't need to do some planning. But if you're pretty much in any other business, if you're in a business of any kind, you always need to do some planning, and you always need to know what your direction should be and where you're going. I mean, if you don't have a target, how do you know what your goals are? I don't understand that. So that's why the one client of mine that I used to push him to do his planning, he said, I do my budget on the back of a napkin. And this is a guy that's doing like $40 million in sales. And he said, I just do my budget on the back of a napkin, and if I really need some help, I look at my crystal ball. So I said, God, I wish I had one of those crystal balls. Guess what I got that Christmas? A crystal ball.
A crystal ball.
It sits on my desk.
It's not the same client, but I had a similar experience with one of my clients when I was a private client advisor. He kept begging me to predict the future of the stock market, and I said, nobody has a crystal ball. Now, this is funny because I didn't know you were going to share that story, and I'd forgotten mine. That Christmas, there was a little box on my desk with about a 3-inch diameter crystal ball with a note attached saying, you can't say no one has a crystal ball anymore. So we've had a couple similar experiences. I wish I could play guitar. On a good day, I can sing, but I wish I could play guitar. Well, listen, Jerry, I can't thank you enough for joining us on the show. I know that even though tax season is over, the planning portion and, shall I say, post-trauma portion of what you do for your clients never ends. It's just great having the opportunity to talk to a CPA that, you know, I think a lot of people, whether it's a trust estate attorney, a tax attorney, the higher up that educational boundary is and the more it involves money, the more people think of us in the profession as not people. You know, we're resources. And you know, people hear you on the radio and they wouldn't automatically say that guy's a certified public accountant. That, you know, you're a human. And not only that, I wish I could play guitar. You can play guitar and sing. I played your calling earlier, and I'm looking forward to closing out the show in a few minutes with I'm totally forgetting the title right now.
As you believe.
Right. And what was really interesting is both of those songs tie in so well with the message I'm trying to get to people, which is, hey, money's important, but it's just a tool. So, you know, have the team, the attorney, the accountant, the professional, the insurance agent, whatever, have that team and have them coordinate everything so that you can actually enjoy it. You know, I compare money to a hammer. It's a tool. And so, okay, your house is built. Why are you still obsessed with this hammer? Let it do what it needs to do and monitor it and check your professionals, but you know, don't go.
I use the hammer analogy to say, look, I can go to the hardware store and buy a hammer, but I have no mechanical skills at all. I can't build a house. So I'll have the hammer, but I'm going to have the team to build the house, you know?
And, Yeah, we have something else in common. My construction job lasted 2 days. They would have fired me, but they found out what I could do from a destruction standpoint and gave me a sledge. Hey, I asked a question to my listeners last week, and not to ambush you. And what do you think and feel when you hear this word? And then maybe what do you think your clients think and feel when they hear this word? Money.
Want more. That's usually what they think.
That was one of the answers. Yeah.
Yeah. Want more. I mean, there's never enough, and they want more, and how do I get more, and how can I earn more, and what can I do to make all those things happen? I mean, that's usually, I agree with your statement is that, you know, money is just the way we keep score, you know, but how we get to the game and how we play the game is a whole different story, you know. So it's not the focus is not just, you know, even in writing or in music, if you try to do music just for the sake of making money, you'll never succeed, because music's about emotion, music's about the heart, music's about, you know, expressing something to someone through song. If you make money with it because you get to enough people that want to listen to it and want to hear you, you know? But that's not how you start. You don't say, oh, I'm going to write this song so I can make $1 million. It doesn't work that way. You'll never get there.
Well, that's true. And I wonder how true, though, that statement is when it's not a musician you're talking about. You know, how important it is that somebody love what they do and then let the rest develop, as opposed to being 10 years into a position thinking, how did I end up doing the stuff I hate every day? You know, it can be a little of both. Well, listen, Jerry, I know you need to go. Okay. And for those of you who joined late, this is Jerry Catalano. His website, two of them, www.themusiccpa.com, where you can get a starter package by shooting him an email that has all the things you might need to know and lots of resources for what you plan to do in the arts as far as starting your arts business. He's also a partner and founding member of Catalano Cabor. The website is www.catboorboor.com. Jerry, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me. Have a great day.
You too.
Thank you. Bye.
We're going to take a brief break, talk to my friends about B-Town, and let BBS Radio do its thing, and be back in 2 minutes. Hi, this is Paul Puckett. As you may know, I love coffee. My friends would tell you I don't love coffee. It's an obsession, and not just any coffee. Espresso. If you're in the Bradenton area, one of the jewels of Bradenton is Old Main Street, and you'll find a coffee shop, B-Town Coffee, with a great alley and awnings and fans to keep you cool in the summer and in the shade, free Wi-Fi, and quite frankly, the best hot dog in town. Stop by. You'll enjoy B-Town Coffee. You know, the other thing I emphasize on this show, which sometimes gets re-emphasized back to me, is we are human, and therefore, no matter how much we prepare, no matter how much we think we've got something down, just looking at the wrong email, Jerry becomes Jim, his son, who was not a guest on today's show, but maybe one day will be. I've had some correspondence with Jim, and I can tell you he knows a lot about what he does. But Jerry had some interesting points. I hope you all, whether you're musicians or not, got a sense of what it's like to be self-employed, to have to run a business, to keep track and plan in advance so that tax time doesn't become the headache that it often can be. It was funny, the crystal ball part, I don't know how many of you all think somebody has one, but getting back to what we were talking about before Jerry joined us, when you read or you see or you hear news or advice articles on how to invest, what you should do from a tax standpoint, an insurance standpoint, nobody, including the person writing that, I can guarantee you, nobody has that crystal ball. We know some things that should happen in the future, but it's, is the stock market going to go up? Yes. Well, that means every day? No. Actually, it could go down. What time period are we looking at? And by the way, the more specific you get with the question, the less I can tell you what's going to happen, because nobody has a crystal ball. The song that Jerry's band, there's links, there's a link on my website, I think, already, gettingthere.life, to the Forces music, which is downloadable from CD Baby. And the other song that I wanted to play for you all that Jerry's also the singer on in the band, is As You Believe. It's a great message. Enjoy.
As you believe. Be
That was As You Believe by The Force. That's F-O-U-R-C-E, F-O-U-R-C-E. You know, their stuff can be hard to find because The Force from Star Wars and all sorts of other things. So if you're looking for it, A, tomorrow there'll be a link on my website, www.gettingthere.life, with the link to his music. Or if you're at CD Baby, type in The Force, F-O-U-R-C-E, or... you can do hashtag The Force on YouTube and actually see Jerry in action. As You Believe, what a great message to close out the show, don't you think? It's just, you know, the way we started this show, who would think you invite a CPA on the show and he's done a song called Calling? You know, is it something I saw or something that was there? Or there's something in the air, it's calling me. Does that sound like an accounting message to you? Maybe it is, but it sounds to me like the message of find who you are and be who you are and let the rest of the small stuff take care of itself. Before we close, I wanted to remind you that Harold Avinsky's book, Hello Harold, is available free for download through the end of tomorrow, which is April 21st. After that, you have to pay for it. It's worth paying for. Let me give you some other story titles. First of all, the book's divided into parts. Part one is about markets, investments, and portfolio design. The biggest mistake, a great stock and a great investment may not be one and the same. False security, when stop loss may really mean guaranteed loss. Again, my favorite one is in part two, all about planning and advice. Who's who anyway? The three P's of investing, selecting a manager, philosophy, process, and people. Life timing, what did Lynn Hopewell teach us in retirement planning? Not dying is the big risk. Part three, what a great part, all about you. Asset allocation, the myth of the portfolio that acts your age. Flight to safety, the portfolio that makes for an uncertain future. I love this one. Market timing number two, a fool's game. Managing risk, smart ways to avoid the bad and manage the good. Harold Avinsky, again, is an industry leader. He has been in the financial service industry for over three decades, served as chairman of the Certified Financial Planning Board, one of the most knowledgeable and really just great guys. I had the pleasure of meeting him a few years ago. And I would encourage you, if you're an investor or a professional, get Hello World, Hello Harold, even if you have to pay for it. It's well worth the read. And by the way, it's nice and short, so it's not going to be something that you know are dedicated to the rest of your life. It's been a great week, great time. I'm happy to have been doing these shows for a few weeks and getting some of the technicalities under my belt. I want to thank Doug at bbsradio.com for, you know, he has to listen to the whole show because he's the guy running all the engineering behind it. And really appreciate him being there to keep me where you can hear me. Next week on Getting There, we'll be talking a little bit from Virginia Beach, Virginia. I'm going to be on the road and we'll be broadcasting remotely. And we'll let you know who the guest will be soon. Until then, have a great week, and thank you for joining the conversation on Getting There.